issue does not mean or imply the board will act on that issue immediately or at all. Speakers shall observe common accepted rules of courtesy, decorum, and good taste. Speakers will address comments to the board only and not engage other members of the public.
Thank you very much. We need a motion to approve the minutes of the December 12th board meeting.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the budget to actual reports for the month of December.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve payment of bills from December 28th and January 9th abstracts.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Public comment. Mr. Haynes.
Right here?
Alright. George, you're next.
Good evening. Thank you for listening to me last session. I know we went through a holiday. I just want to make sure that we're staying on track. I'd like to see things turn around. There was conversations about cameras and about that we were going to do more to try to break up some of the stuff that was going on. Just curious if that's happening. I mean, I know that I've seen stuff go on the papers with the state police and the sheriff's department, but just want to know if we're continuing. I just don't want to be a one-time stand at the board, say a bunch of crap.
No, we appreciate you coming and speaking. There has been movement. Art, well, go ahead.
Yeah. So, since last meeting, we've been able to hire a new officer, which we have been able to increase our patrols since last meeting present. Still collaborating with the sheriff's department, state police, on a regular basis, covering all aspects. There's a lot that I can't speak to as far as that, but just knowing that there is ongoing police presence, the hours that we're not here, early hours of the morning. Again, we're paying attention to all places of business, yours with the damage, to the car wash. So we're continuing to do that. I mean, we do that all the time. You know, I mean, as you said, you know, in the past, you see that we're in the parking lot, and that's a deterrent. I mean, it's not necessarily we're sitting there because we want to, like, say that that's a good spot to run radar. It's really not. It's a good place to be present, and it is a deterrent. And I understand that some people don't like that, that term, but it is. I mean, because that is a place where out of sight, out of mind. Again, what I can do and what I've done is worked with and continue to work with talking to the actual individual officers, not just the command staff with the state police and the sheriff's office, the guys that are on the street, the A-line folks, the guys that are working the nights. Listen, when you're out there, and as I told you, and this is just, it's out there for the county, there's maybe four patrol cars at best on a regular average. You know, sheriff's department has two, one east, one west. So we ask that, give us some undivided attention. You know, we're having some issues with this. Whether it be their issues with, Cumberland Farms, whatever it is. So it is top of mind. I mean, the guys are working really hard. It's not a one-off. We were working really hard prior to that. And I can tell you, these folks are willing to meet with the board, and we have met with the board, and rest assured for the sheriff's department and the state police and the collaboration that we are, what we're doing. I mean, right up to NCON, and it doesn't necessarily mean, I'll give an example of last weekend. We had a situation with a trespass, right? It didn't result into an arrest, but it was the fact that the homeowner did not want to press charges, but they were thankful and grateful that our work with NCON, that yeah, we closed it out. There wasn't an arrest there, but that wasn't because of us. It was the homeowner decided not to make the arrest. you know, on the trespass. All we can do now is advise that person, don't go back. If they go back, then the homeowners, you gotta press charges. But if they don't, they don't.
I appreciate what you're saying. I'm a huge supporter of the board, huge support of the town of Philmont, huge support of the police. I'm a big proponent of the police. And you can cite little incidences that we're catching, but globally, it's a little bit of a free-for-all here. And I just think we gotta do whatever we can. If that means business people have to support to get cameras, if that means people gotta put their money where their mouth is, which I'm willing to do, if that means that we have to dedicate our time and service towards getting the troopers here all the time, gotta do what we gotta do. I mean, the county is stuffing these people here that are committing the crimes, bottom line. And the crimes are nonstop. They just are.
So the county, right now, is down 15 full-time deputies. State police, it's because that's obviously, it's the state. I don't have an exact number. I don't have the local breakdown of how many folks they're down. But when I last talked to, you know, the sergeant, you know, Troop K at Livingston, New Lebanon, and Kinderhook, those folks were down, I want to say that they were down like 18 or 19, but they did just receive a group of recruits out of this last class. So right now, you see a lot of the troopers doubled up.
I get it. I see them. They're young guys. I coached some of those kids. So, but like, it starts with you guys. Yeah. We have to set a precedent and say, this is the way this town's going to be. And then you got to get town people's support to continue that. I know there's little stuff. Like, I listen to everybody. Everybody has a want. Everybody has a complaint. It could be Wi-Fi. It could be garbage on the street. It's all of that stuff. But right, doesn't it come down to quality of life? Doesn't matter if I have $10 and you have $5, Rob. It comes down to quality of life. When people can't walk on the street, there is zero quality of life. You can cite law. You can cite bail reform. That's nothing to do with it. I've known Larry for 35 years. You know what I'm saying? Like it's quality of life. I keep my shop spotlessly clean. I do whatever I can. You give up after a while because your place is destroyed nonstop. So I can't imagine the person doesn't have the wherewithal to fight. I can't imagine the older person that locks their door 10 times anymore because it's in their face. Got to change the culture here. It just has to change. Or it'll be the end of our county. It feels very daunting, and it feels like we're making no progress. But unless people come and continue to say this and continue to be vocal and continue to support you guys, which I will do, it ain't gonna change. So don't just cite stuff. Let's get people revved up in some way, fashion, or some way to start changing the culture. It's a cultural issue here. People hang out on the streets, they commit crimes. They are not motivated to work. I hire all the time. I can't get them to work. I have not a single person from the town of Philmont that works for me. I've got 35 employees. How is that? We have to change the culture here somehow, or we're doomed. Because your next generation is not going to be able to live here. Some of you guys are 20 years younger than me. You're not going to be able to live here. You're just not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to park your car knowing that you got to get up every couple hours because they may steal your catalytic converter. You can't run a business here. Nobody's going to put money in here. It just financially doesn't make sense. So I feel like we just have to band together somehow and fix it. And I know it's not an easy answer, and I know I know it's not easy, none of it is.
Well, the thing is, it starts with data, and I've spoken to both of you guys, which has been great, and you both have been very helpful. So the first part of that is, I think, is gonna be writing a report that outlines what we're getting, how much we're spending, and how that correlates with our other providers, being the state police and the Columbia County Sheriff. I've already started writing that report, so I'm hoping to have that finished by the next meeting, and then we can call a workshop, as we talked about, and see what we're getting and what we need to do. We gotta start there.
Yeah, I mean, if money was the answer, then that's easy. Not the answer.
No,
the answer is a cultural shift where we motivate people to stop.
We gotta start here. We gotta start with what's happening.
I'm not gonna be here forever, I get that, I also, while I'm here, I'm going to do my best to live a quality life. And I can't even imagine, my wife's aunt lives in Philmont. I got to go over there all the time, make sure her locks are good. And she's always worried. I mean, come on, it's like craziness that you got to worry about the old folk. It's just not fair. It's not. So I don't know if it helps or hurts, but I just wanted to keep it going. I'll probably keep coming back because I think we have to do something differently. That's all.
Thank you.
Can I do this?
Tomoko is next.
I would speak up to ISTA. because I would like to support his proposal.
Excuse me?
She wants to speak after Alistair.
Speak after Alistair.
Okay.
If you don't mind, thanks.
Alistair is next.
Hi, thank you. 5 minutes is what I'll take if I can. If I had more time, I would go so longer, but I brought some props. I hope that's all right. Like a lamp and some things. Basically, I've been asked to, I'm not living in Philmont. I'm living just outside up Summit, Dunbar Road. I have a P.O. box here, though, so I would like to move somewhere permanently. Right now, I'm looking for a place. I've been asked to talk on behalf of some people who are here and some who are not. I've talked in Sheffield and Lennox, Albany in the past as well, about a few things. If I can put this in one sentence, it's a request for requiring an operational permit to operate in public rights of way for wireless transmission facilities. Those are cell phone towers, small cells, anything you can put antennas on roofs. Basically, this is a safeguard to prevent people from just putting them up without the town saying okay first. So we're requiring an operational permit is legal, and it is also a potential revenue stream, because you know, if it's $50 or $100 to put in the permit application, grant it, then renew it once a year, that's $50 times however many there are.
What is the permit for?
It's wireless transmission facilities operating in the public right-of-way.
What is that?
Essentially, you have an antenna, a tower, or a small cell somewhere, and the operation of it is the signal that's sent out. And in the public right-of-way means places where people can walk or gather.
Would that be a modem?
Not
a router?
It doesn't have to be.
But it could be.
But it could be.
So in someone's house, they'd have to buy it before they installed a router or a modem?
Not necessarily. You can write the bylaws. I mean, the bylaws themselves, which would be required, is something that it's not my expertise. So my proposal is to find someone who will be able to write those. And I have a few names I've heard. One, Andrew Campanelli, is a person who may help.
What are you looking to limit? Let's cut to the chase.
Yeah. So I have something called a body voltage meter. It's basically a multimeter. You hold it, and you ground the other side of it. As you go near something like a lamp, the voltage goes up. So that electric field is going through your body. That's running at 60 hertz, but there are all kinds of ways that can, if you have multiple sources of electricity, inverters from solar panels and things, it can have harmonics, 60, 120, 180, and so forth. After you get to 1.7 kilohertz, it starts affecting your organs. That's the electrical engineers, IEEE, have a paper on that. So, point being, you might not think a lamp and some solar panels can affect your organs, but they can. And similarly, I have these handouts for you, if I may. One for everybody.
Here you go.
Two things in here. These are 14 assumptions that the radio frequency guidelines are based on, and then this is information packet on cell phone tower radiation. Basically, you see FDA says it's not their thing. National Cancer Institute says they don't have guidelines. American Cancer Society, EPA, CDC, they all say we don't know or we don't have any guidelines. The guidelines that are in place are from 1993, according to the World Health Organization, and they had a study that they created a committee, task group on radio frequency fields and health risks, 2023. So the World Health Organization acknowledges that they haven't updated the guidelines since 93, and they're studying it this year. So what I'm asking to limit is get ahead of this, prevent anything from being set up without the town saying okay first, because right now anybody could. And
to what degree? I mean, they can't just come in and put a cell tower in without our permission.
What about like a ham radio tower? Yeah, there's a few of those in the village already. Those are your criteria?
It's got to go on. Everything like that would have to go through zoning and you know, so.
Would it be prudent to wait for the report to come out next year?
I think what we need to do is bring this to a workshop.
Yeah.
And discuss this. Nobody's had a chance to read through this.
Yeah.
So we'll bring it to a workshop and discuss it. And then we'll come back with it next meeting.
Okay. I have this to submit for the town meetings or town record.
Yep.
A few more studies. Naval Medical Research Institute has known that non-ionizing radiation has been damaging since 1972. We have 2,000 studies in this 100-page bibliography. And there's some minutes from Ashland in Oregon where they talk about bylaws that they're trying to put in place. Mm-hmm. I have that for reference.
Okay.
Again, if I had 30 minutes, I can talk more about it.
Thank you.
Yep.
Welcome.
Thanks. I was at the last trustee workshop in the end of the month. And you guys were talking about what you think about the cell tower and Wi-Fi. And I appreciate your opinions, but I have a response to that. I do support Arista's proposal because that would help to conserve the environment. And if you go with the climate smart task force agendas, why don't you go with this? I think that was Doug, that we have to prove the danger of wireless radiation. I basically think that we don't have to prove. You guys have to prove the safety of it because you introduced the tower in our village.
There is no tower in our village. The tower is in the town of Clawbrick.
No, there is, there is a tower by the forest lake.
That's maybe the town of Tacoma.
No.
Or the town of Clawbrick. It's not in the village. That just because we own Forest Lake doesn't mean it's in the village.
It's in the village, and also the Clawbrick Tower, and the Clawbrick Tower, I looked up that more, but the Clawbrick Tower didn't seem to pass through without the legal discussion in this village. We've been trying to get the documents.
It's not in the village.
And the town, and the county, they don't give it to us. And
Town of Clawbrick Planning Board approved that tower. Years and years ago.
The town or village didn't seem
it's to not
send
in the village.
excuse me, I'm talking.
Yeah,
the town or the village didn't seem to send the residents that the tower is going to be built. Can you prove that? You guys sent the letter?
In 1993, is that what it was that you said was approved?
I don't remember the year. It was before my tenure, though.
Cell tower?
10 years ago.
Are we
the
talking?
Forest Lake?
Well, it's been renewed. Goes through Clawbrick has cell tower renewals, but yeah, that would have been planning board decision in the town of Clawbrick.
There were public hearings on that. I'm sure there were because there was a sign out by the road.
Yeah.
So, are you saying that Tomoko should take it to the Clawbrick board if she has questions
if
about
she
it?
If she wants to review the approval of the documentation, it would have been submitted to the town of Clawbrick planning board, and they have a file. The easiest way to access it would be to go on the county's Real Property Tax Service website.
We've been doing that.
Let me explain. Get the tax map number. Because when you go visit the building inspector in Clawbrick, you can say, can I see the approval for tax map number, bump, 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 bump. And he can just pull out, he or she can pull out of the cabinet that approval for you if you foil it.
But we found a document that the zoning board, from the zoning board minutes, that this village didn't do a safety test, the zoning board.
Well, they've said this three or four times, and I'll say it again. It's in the town of Clawbrick. This village doesn't have jurisdiction over
that
tower.
But that affects our residents' health, too.
No, I appreciate what you're saying, but their zoning and planning wouldn't have reviewed it. And another thing to bear in mind, the way the town of Claverick did their planning and zoning 10, 15, 12 years ago, it used to be the zoning board of appeals that approved site plans and special use permits, not the planning board. Planning board only did subdivisions. So you probably need the zoning board file for that particular approval.
Well, we keep pursuing to get the document. If we start a lawsuit, we will win because it's in the FCC guideline, this radiation limit. And it, because you said that we have to prove the wireless radiation harm, there is a peer document in April 2022. It's called the roles of intensity, exposure, duration, and the moderation of the biological effect of the radio frequency radiation and its exposure guideline. This is by written by Henry Lay and Blake Levitt, who are the Washington University professor and award-winning journalist. They say that the government should adopt a maximum full body specific absorption rate, which is SR, it's called SAR, of 1.65 milliwatts per kilogram, which is 48 times lower than the current wireless exposure limit that allow the public to be exposed to a full body SAR of 80 milliwatts per kilogram. There are many documentations like this. If you would like to read it, I will send it to you.
I don't know how to answer that. I really don't.
Well, your job is to protect the resident's health. Isn't that true?
Yeah. The thing is that the research she's citing is all on that side. I've done research on it too, and there's research on the other end too.
Yeah.
So we're not experts in this, and it's not part of
the
village.
Then why don't you read the both sides?
Why
don't you read the both sides of the reviews? There are a lot of fake science.
Yeah, that's what I said I did. There are both, there's another side. And I haven't found anything conclusive.
Well, when they are opposing the harm of virus radiation, be careful. There are scientists and doctors who are funded by the corporation. And FCC is also funded by the corporation.
All right, well, we'll take that back to the next workshop.
Can I make a comment? We're not allowed.
Not allowed. Kate is next.
So, my concern is that I do live in the downtown area here, and it's entirely possible that the telecom corporations would decide to install 5G small cells in the neighborhood. And so that does what Alistair is proposing that has bearing on this, that before such small cell technology would be installed, that it would have to be approved. And I am someone that know personally about the impact of the radiation on human biology, because it has impacted me. And I thought that maybe having a copy of these charts, this chart would be helpful to you, because here we have just electrical wire, you know, the power lines, from the power lines all the way up to X-rays and gamma rays, where then you see where the devices are with megahertz, hertz just with the electricity, and megahertz and gigahertz and so on. And all of this, so you can have a copy of, just take a copy of that. All of this is biologically active, and although the telecoms have worked night and day to make sure that the health studies that were done decades ago does not reach the public and gets acted on by the government, the data is there, and I put together, this was some time ago, it's just a synopsis of the reports of early studies that even the US government had done, and longitudinal studies done by the Russians between 1960 and 1997, where they proved to themselves without a doubt that this was occupational setting. And they list, these are the biological effects, and all of the research since then has corroborated this over and over again. But one of the key things that happens with these companies, whether it's the lead company or Exxon and the fossil fuels or whatever, is that you buy research and you do your best to spew uncertainty about the facts. And that's where we are today. We're still trying to dig out of that. And so I'd like to just share this much with you, because it is confirmed fact that these things have biological effects on the on everything living. It's not just us, it's the animals and the plants as well. And also Dr. Martin Paul, a very important cellular and molecular biologist with a background in physics as well, he has been going around the country lecturing on these dangers, and he came out with an extremely important paper saying that wireless causes health effects, because another thing that the wireless companies have tried to do is to tell us that there is no way that this could be happening. And it's known that our cells have a frequency-sensitive element in them that is triggered by these radiations. So please join me in doing this homework. It is so essential. If we want to know where the cancer and autism, it's not the only element, but it is a critical element. And the other thing is, we're wasting a heck of a lot of energy training electricity into wireless radiation when we could ground connect, which is what I've had to do. But I can't protect myself from what comes outside of my home. Thank you.
Thank you. James Hill.
So I had some issues with the state police this weekend. I've been being harassed by my neighbors on 33 Main Street and 37 Main Street. It's an issue with property that's back there. I have looked up who owns the property, and it's not the people stating that or saying that they own it. So I have who owns it in front of me. These people have went as far as putting posted signs everywhere, harassing my kids, harassing my wife, harassing me. The state police said I should attend a board meeting, and maybe you guys could figure this out.
You're 337 Prospect.
Nope.
Main Street.
You're 35.
We're 31.
I'm 31. And I have another question.
Give me a word. Is that the one with the alley behind it?
That's the right way. Yep. Yes. That's correct. Yep. And I've read film on laws and stuff. Pretty sure it says no chickens, bees, or ducks.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's chickens back there too.
There's chickens everywhere.
So what are you looking for from us?
Just what to do from here. I've tried to contact the building inspectors on numerous occasions. I have emails, I have written letters into him. He said he has a full plate. That's what his words were. And I'm just tired of being harassed.
What are you being harassed about?
Parking. They've been taking pictures of my house. The man at 37, actually my daughter was getting undressed, and she's a 16-year-old female. And she said, Daddy, I just was getting changed in my room, and there's an old man outside taking pictures. So that's what concerns me, really. And the pictures and the harassment.
You getting that?
Yeah, that's the police matter, really, right?
No, they said it's a civil matter, or they said come to the town.
This is the property piece is not criminal, but the photos. But you, there was just an incident this there that when Philmont responded, you actually turned my officer away.
No, and no, he said, went away because the state police was already there.
You turned him away because you told him that you called the state police and you wanted the state police. And then the state police arrived, wasn't necessarily inviting, and then you wanted our officer to, after it was their case. So, like, if there's an officer responding to assist, like, you want to welcome that, at least, like, not turn away, but, like, so we can get...
Yeah, no, I...
Get you help if there is help.
Yeah, I know.
But when an officer responds, you tell them, no, I got the state police coming. Like, what do you...
No, I didn't...
Like, we're not, we're going to respect you, we're okay.
Yeah, state police just pulled right up behind them.
Right up behind them. Right. So
I didn't deny his help. Phil said, who called Philmont? I said, I don't know who called Philmont. I said, I called the state police.
Okay.
I had a conversation with Phil.
So.
Yep. And there's parcel 16 on the tax map. Now I called Columbia Real Property, and it's parcel 16. It's actually where I park. They said that it was in their system as it was attached to 31 Main Street, and it's deleted somehow. I'd like to see how we could come about this too. I have the tax map here in front of me if you want to take a look at it.
You have surveys from a licensed surveyor because the tax maps are not necessarily legal.
Okay, I can do that.
I mean, that would be helpful, I would think, for the police to have
absolutely
legal surveys from a surveyor.
Okay, what about the property issue? The parking and stuff like that. Can somebody put posted signs up and say they own it?
They're denying you parking on the street? They're denying you parking
No, this is in the back. They're harassing my company in and out of there and everything. Like, it's to the point, you know? One's enough, enough.
Who owns it?
Phil Giller. He's the actual owner. But he's not giving me the problem.
Uh-huh. And
he did an installment contract.
He did an installment contract with somebody that did it. But the person he did the installment contract, an installment contract is an installment contract. You don't legally own it. It's like he's holding a mortgage. So once that mortgage is satisfied, then you own it, then everything gets switched over. Make sense?
Yeah, right.
But as of now, Phil Giller owns the property.
And
you own your house, even though you're just paying
the bank. The tenants that are harassing you, are they Phil Giller tenants?
They're
the house is gutted.
The house is gutted. That person's not even living there. He's just harassing.
So if somebody's putting posted signs up, are those signed?
No.
They need to be signed to be legal?
Right.
They're not signed.
They need to be signed to be legal, but you can put posted signs on your own property.
But it's not
right.
His property.
The installment thing.
Phil Giller, I can explain this because I've dealt with Phil before, how he does this. You buy a piece of property from Brian, you go get a bank, you get a mortgage, you pay him, and then you take the deed, and you're the owner. The way Phil does it is it's kind of a lease to own option. So these people, it's an installment land sale purchase contract where Phil gets payments every month for a defined term with a defined interest. And at the end of that term, 5, 10, 15, or 20 years, he then transfers over the deed to the new owner. So the new owner is a tenant, does have a claim of occupancy and use of the property most likely, but Phil Gellert is still the deeded owner of the property.
So legally, what do we have here?
If there's a dispute over boundary lines or who can park where or who owns what, that is a civil matter between landowners. And as Doug pointed out, you have a surveyor verify your property line, what you own or what you don't. Or when you bought your property, you had a title search and an attorney review that title search. The descriptions will be in there. Maybe there was a previous survey, or you can get a new survey commissioned for that.
So I'm still unclear as to who this gentleman should be conversing with. Should he be conversing with Phil or surveyor?
I would say Phil and the purchaser of the land installment contract.
We talked to Phil and he said he has no problem with us parking there, and we're still getting shit.
We're still getting harassed. And he said we'd have to talk to the purchaser, but the purchaser doesn't own it until the deed is settled.
Right.
So.
Well, if you were to bring a legal action, it would be against Phil.
Okay.
Because he's technically the owner right now. The reason people don't do land installment purchase contracts, because God forbid if Phil dies, how do they get the deed for the money that they gave him up to date?
If it goes up in a fire, Phil's got it all. You know, I know how Phil Giller works through.
So is it?
The question is, I want to know if there's, who would I talk to to see if there was a valid building permit if somebody was in there working? Building inspector?
Yes.
Okay.
He would be, is there any way that you could go down?
Yeah.
And speak with this gentleman? I just assume this is something that the Philmont police should handle, not the state troopers.
Okay.
This is a Philmont matter, should be kept in Philmont.
Right.
So if you can send somebody down there to talk to this gentleman, maybe go talk to the person that.
Do you have his name?
Sean Jennings.
So is it, so the issue with your daughter and the issue with the park, being harassed about your parking, was there anything else?
There was a lot of stuff. He was throwing recyclables in our yard, breaking glass on our deck.
I have a 3-year-old and my deck is right there. I could have been bringing my 3-year-old in, and who's to say one of them bottles hit my little daughter? Then what am I to do? We're supposed to feel safe living here. Am I right or wrong?
With our 15-year-old and our 11-year-old.
I have it all on video. I have everything.
All right, well, somebody from the PD will be down to talk to you, and then maybe.
And he actually, the father actually told the state police, he was on the board and he worked for the village and he was doing his own investigation. I don't know how true that is. I don't know.
Vern will handle it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Monty?
Thank you. As a member of the American Legion Post 252 here in town, I just wanted the board to know that we've started the second year process of the Veteran Banner Program. It was a 2-year program. So we have started that second year to get them put up again through this coming year, and then that'll terminate the program. And there has been nothing good, or there's been all good about this program said about the village and the post.
Why does this only go for 2 years? For 2 years? Why is it terminated after the second year?
Well, we kind of agreed upon a 2-year program. We do have other individuals coming out to purchase new banners that missed out last year. We have a meeting coming up. I can discuss it with them if they want to go longer. But
why not leave it open-ended? I mean, if somebody just gets out a year from now, they won't be able to put their banner up?
I can bring it to the attention of the upcoming meeting.
So you mean to tell me after this year we're not going to get the banners anymore?
Not new ones. The old ones will still go up.
The old ones
will still go up, and whatever new we get this year will come in, and go up as well. But if you would like to continue this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll bring it to your attention of the meeting. All right. Thank you.
I think we do, don't we?
Yeah.
That's
that
great.
Would put a end on.
All right. Okay. Next. Attorney's report.
Nothing new to report, just ongoing projects.
Jessica?
I'm with Jane.
Water sewer bills were mailed out on December 30th and are due by January 31st without penalty. Worked on water sewer billing estimate process. Due to the bills being estimate and not actual usage, the water sewer funds will be down by about $30,000. We're just asking caution is used and making purchases from these funds. Worked closely with Cliff and the DPW on weather and water break. Worked with Cliff to repair the Summer Street water tower emergency dialer for the DEC. Had multiple calls with the union attorney in regards to multiple employee and contract situations. We've noticed an increase in requests for certified death certificates and notaries. Record retention project has continued to be worked on. I've researched more for the library archives with a Bold Vice for Library grant. Village elections will be held on March 21st. The nomination petitions are available in office for pickup, and office will be closed on Monday, January 16th, in observance of Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Jess, I missed. You said we were down 30,000?
We didn't actually get meter readings this time,
everything
is just estimate on like a basis
charge.
So
that'll come back the next time.
Next reading it will, but in the meantime, we're.
Gotcha. Yep.
All right, the building inspector did not leave a report, but he has been really busy this month.
Mm-hmm.
He's been dealing with some issues on Summer Street and a couple other places in the village. Although he didn't give a report, we know he's been around.
Will we get a report next month?
If he leaves one. I don't talk to him every month, so, I mean, he left a letter in your folder.
Why? Not everyone got that?
I didn't get it.
Must be a mistake.
Whatever.
You can leave the report in my box, it's fine with me.
Library report.
Not much to report, Toby's on here. Not much to report, this month is quiet, although we did have 565 people walk in the library, which is incredible to me, and we have 31,487 books in circulation from our little library in Philmont, which continues to be an incredible resource for this village. Other than that, there's a bunch of programs coming up, depending on what your interests are, take a look. Moving away from fossil fuel, investments, soup sales are coming up, and there's some virtual things coming up too at the library. That's it.
Thank you. Community center, Doug?
Okay, community center report for January. Submitted by Julie Varianzi, the director. The center's been checked regularly during the month. Thanks me for stopping there frequently. Groups using the center this month for the Scouts and the Santa Claus Club. Philmont Community Day is planning on using it January 10th. The Christmas tree was up and decorated. The programs, the meeting was scheduled on December 6th to meet with a Philmont agency regarding a discussion possible. This doesn't make sense, but she wrote this. Meeting scheduled December 6th with Philmont agency to discuss possible use of the center. Okay, one minute. And then you can show. Then she adds a note that she feels great sadness that George Firm passed away in December. He was a true community member, always doing for everyone and expecting nothing in return. He spent countless hours working on the community center gardens and the structure. This month, he bought a beautiful wreath and placed it on the door. I, as well as many others in the village of Philmont, will miss him greatly.
Thank you.
Month of December, we had 10 calls for service. We had 63 property checks, issued 2 UTTs, 16 VNT warnings, participated in the Santa Claus parade. But overall, was a still ongoing with the collaboration, as I said earlier. So.
Our that call we had Friday night with a guy burning garbage in his pit on his porch.
Yeah, I was already aware of that.
Yeah. One of the most stupid things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, just made aware that we're going to address that.
Okay. Is he open to a fine or?
He'll receive a ticket from us, but whatever the judge assesses, it's going to be the courts. I don't know what the fines are. But hopefully it's the max.
Nothing surprises me.
Burning garbage in your fire pit on your porch, which is 10 feet from your house.
Just doesn't surprise me.
Yep.
All right. Summit Lake and its water course, Larry.
Okay. Report summary. The Ball Grant Committee did not meet in December. LWRP grant, watershed management plan updates. Watershed Committee, the WAC, consisting of municipal partner towns of Clover, Kent, and Hillsdale, also submitted the recommendation to the mayor and trustee Ostrander, co-chairs of the Ball Grant Committee, for the selection of LaBella Associates as a consulting planning firm to be hired for the Ogallamic Creek Watershed Management Planning Project under the DOS Local Waterfront Revitalization Program grant. The contract amount for the scope of the work is $129,380 for 2023-2024. The DOS has approved the selection of LaBella and the WAC recommendation. PBI is requesting the Village Board of Trustees approve a motion to award the contract to LaBella for services to commence January 23. Ball grant updates. PBI is working on the draft of the RFP. For the BOA work plan is a motion updated. ETA is 1/15/23. The Village of Philmont Historic District updates. The Heritage Working Group has scheduled the Village Hall presentation by the State Historic Preservation SHPO to for Wednesday, March 15th at 6:30.
And 6 p.m.
6 p.m., thank you. And is requesting use of the Village Hall. That's it.
Thank you. And we can, she can use the Village Hall. She was going to use it before, so she can use it now. So somebody's just got to let her in.
And now?
As March gets closer, somebody's going to have to remind somebody.
Okay. It's on a Wednesday.
Climate Smart.
I was away, but things were moving along quite well based on what we had already done. And so I may need some help from Deborah and Doug. But the most important thing is the village now meets the criteria for a bronze certification. That's based on what's already been accomplished and the programs that are ongoing right now that will be done probably in the next 6 months. So Audrey Kropp of the Cornell Cooperative Extension, she's the one who did the Climate Smart Community Assessment and Assessment Summary Report, and that's now on the website under Climate Smart Community. You can see there all of the measures that have been taken and that are in progress, how many points they get, and the documentation that's required to, because to get the bronze certification, you have to produce many, many documents. So that in itself will take a while, and you get 3 times a year that you can put in for that documentation. So we wouldn't expect to get that probably until, I think there's a submission in September. So that's sort of the goal that we're looking at. And that then brings in another grant, and you go on the map, the New York State map, as being a bronze certified community. And that does open the door to a lot of other things as well. The light bulb exchange, we are trying to engage story crafters. So that's Jerry Burns and Barry Marshall, and they might do a little video to show why it's important to change out light bulbs in the home or in businesses. The municipal building energy audit took place. There's some question that we have reports for 2 buildings, not 3. So I'm trying to track down why they did not do the sewage treatment plant, or
they
perhaps
did. They were down there.
They did. Oh,
I took them down.
Oh, help me with that, Doug. So why isn't there a report for it?
That's not my thing.
That's not okay.
But I took him down there, and he talked with Cliff for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was done.
Down.
I don't know where the report is.
Okay. All right. No, that'll help. I'll track it down. But we do have the other 2.
He did community center and this building.
Yeah, and I have those reports.
Yeah, do not, and I took them down to the sewer plant.
Okay, all right, good. I'll find out where it is. And then we meet with them, because this is just the draft reports. After we meet with them, the full reports will be issued. And then related to that is the greenhouse gas inventory, which is village-wide, and it's not just buildings, it's any vehicles, it's everything that's under the municipal village that produces greenhouse gas emissions. So that would be the total inventory, but that was related to the building building audits. And then we still on board for the climate vulnerability assessment and climate adaptation planning. That will be done with a group from Cornell Extension, and that is supposed to begin in the next couple of weeks. I'm hoping to hear from them to find out when that will start. And I believe that's it, but because of all the work involved and where we progressed at this point, there'll be a new recruitment flyer coming out, and we'll just have to work on how that'll get posted on various websites, and maybe going out with Board of Bill.
Recruitment for people to help on the committee?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Mayor's report. Well, most of my time has been spent with the DPW and the sewer plant this month. For one storm, we were down to only two people. We have two out hurt. We didn't replace one. And our backups were both sick. One of them had COVID, the other one had pneumonia. So it's been an interesting month with a snowstorm and Christmas and whatnot. I did, however, attend a couple meetings with Deborah, and I had one with the union the other day. We've been working, trying to keep the village running. And I personally had a deadline that I had to meet, and I want to thank Doug in the village office for picking up my slack, taking care of the daily operations. That's what happens when a team works together. Thank you very much, guys.
I think it'd be appropriate to thank Duvall and Cliff for busting their butt.
Absolutely.
Through all of this. Just put that on the record.
Absolutely. All right, trustees report. Crapper.
Okay. I met with a resident regarding a DPW concern, and then I talked to DPW, it was easily resolved. Brian, you forgot to mention that we judged the Christmas lights. That's the most important thing we did. Checked properties. I had a resident call me with concerns regarding some water leaks that were coming out of a house, and I know Cliff was all over that day. There seemed to be a lot of water leaks. So we had some minor problems at the community center with ice at the front door, and with the fire alarm, I took care of all that. I was with Leggett Electric recently, and have called Capital Digitronics. We're trying to get the fire alarm sirens working again. I did talk to Capital Digitronics. They gave us an estimate before, remember? They said that wasn't going to be valid because of, you know,
right,
inflation and so on. And they were going to email Jess a new estimate soon. So we're still waiting on that, though. I just did that Friday. And then Monty, maybe when I was with Leggett, we're considering taking down the siren that's down at the Memorial Field and just putting one omnidirectional siren up here. So right now down at Memorial Field, there is electric service. So if you could advise me if we need that anymore, if we take the siren down. There's a plug there, and there's a light on the flag which doesn't work, but if we can remove that entire service, it'll save us money. You don't have to answer me now.
Okay.
Okay? You know, just in the future, if we can eliminate that siren down there, and if we can eliminate the electricity, that's one less bill we have every month.
Well, only because of the flag and the illumination, but there are other ways, so you should be able to take that out. I can discuss that with you another time.
Flags don't legally need illumination anymore. That's been changed.
Okay.
So anyway, let's talk about that sometime. I just wanted to bring that up. Okay. Then I wrote to Senator Hinchey, who's our new senator. We had a really good relationship with Daphne Jordan, to see if Senator Hinchey would continue that with us. I got a response back from one of her helpers, Destiny Hollenbach, and she would like to know if we have any times that we need help, or if you know, we have any events, and she'd like us you know, to come. I think we would like to meet her. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a good. I also wrote to Dee Dee Barrett, reaching out as well. She didn't write back. Let's see, what else has been happening? Got a meeting tomorrow with Dan Granadetti from the county, along with Mrs. Vernizzi and Jess Cropperall, who's the program assistant at the community center. We're going to see if we can get some money out of the county. Dan said that, you know, he might be willing to help us just for programs and so on. So that'll be happening tomorrow. I think that's it, Brian.
Thank you.
Jason?
I met with Doug had asked, this has to do with the siren and the award grant for the air packs that we got. So just a quick timeline so everyone understands what's going on right now. June 21st, we were approved for the grant. We were granted the money. No application was provided until May of 22, so 8 or 9 months. At that time, Delgado also left to become lieutenant governor. September 22, they changed the application carrier to Colleen Carragher. On November 18th, they moved it to Alexander Gerson, who's a loan specialist for the USDA. On December 16th, they changed it to Brenda Smith, the USDA program director, the new one. So it switched three times in the last year. And now I'm currently working with Brenda to complete the application this week. Doug, you had asked about the siren, and as far as I can understand at this point, there was a verbal agreement given by Delgado to Philmont. Nothing had ever been written down. For a new one or even to repair that one. So I'm going to find out for sure tomorrow, but I think that it probably would be prudent to speak to Leggett about getting that fixed ASAP, because I do not believe we have
anything. We're not going to fix it.
Okay, so I don't. Okay.
It's too far gone. We're going to get a new one.
Okay.
But the estimate is going to be a shocker.
Is it?
Well, it was $30,000 before, so I can imagine what it's going to be now.
You mean to install, take this one down, put it up here?
Leggett would take care of the removal down there, and the thing is that somebody like in 1965 ran a wire from that one
all the way down
to the one down there on the poles, which was not kosher, and that's where the fire was. Leggett said he would take all that wiring down, but we can't do that until we get a new system.
And moving the siren that's down to the ball field up to this building is not feasible.
No, that would be because that one is directional, and we need on the directional if we put it here. Otherwise, it's just going to blast one way. We won't hear it everywhere else.
Okay.
So that one.
Are we required to have this as a village? The siren?
It's more of a public safety thing now. Okay. I mean, all the firemen we have our pagers, and we have iron responding on our phone, so we don't need it to get off our deck in the summertime when we hear the siren going anymore, like our fathers used to.
Yeah, sure.
You know, that's our grandfathers did. So, and you know, if there was ever a flood or something, you know, are people going to know because the siren's going off that they better get the high water? You know, I think that. we have a lot better other ways to communicate than blowing a siren off here. I personally think it's more of tradition than anything. It's really not a necessary tool of communication in today's world.
How am I going to know when it's lunchtime on Wednesdays?
Right there. Same way I do.
All right, so that's going through this week, finally, so we should have movement on that, finally, for that air pack grant. We talked about the police stuff, the report I'm going to work on. Library, I met with them several times, and we're working through the LaBerge agreement, which, has it been signed yet?
I haven't signed anything yet.
Okay, just wondering.
We got to pass it tonight.
Okay, that's what's happening? Okay, I didn't look at that yet. Great. Fire department, we're welcoming two new members this month. So anybody in here that's joining, or two women joining the fire department next Friday, or rough, they'll come before the board, but I'm very excited about that. George and I were actively working on a picnic table and to repair the gazebo, which is still going to happen with Doug's help now, which I really appreciate, Doug. So that's in the works, and that's all I got for now.
Thank you.
Yep.
Larry. Attended all meetings, corresponded back and forth with PBI over the LWRP and the grant to the agreement that she wants us to pass tonight. Contacted Cantelli's to get a price for a memorial stone for George, which you've all seen, and that has been ordered. Spoke to Mr. Doyle in Planet Fitness over some police issues on Saturday, so we gave the treadmills a break for 20 minutes. And I have the Philmont Fire Company report to read. I'm not going to give a detailed report of all the calls. So total calls for the year, fire calls for the year for 2022 was 105. EMS calls were 92. So the Philmont Fire Department for the year for 2022 responded to 197 calls. Drills for the month were 3, truck inspections 1, work detail 1. And our sub night is back on. Is it the first Friday?
The last
Friday of every month. And yeah, just so you know, every nickel that goes into that goes towards a scholarship to someone in the Philmont Fire District. Mostly it's a village resident, but if a village resident doesn't qualify or there isn't a senior, then it goes to the fire district and it's $1,000 every year. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it's also the same people responding to calls that are doing the preparing of the food and everything else. So if you can give us a small hand and buy a sub once in a while, that would be greatly appreciated. And only like $7.
What's the scholarship?
It's through Dallas for Scholars. It's a college scholarship.
College scholarship.
Yep.
Deborah?
Couple of announcements just about grant awards. Robin Andrews, with assistance from Jason, had applied for a Greenway grant, and that was awarded for $10,000. She also applied for a Smart Growth Community Planning and Zoning grant, and we just found out at the end of the year that that was awarded for $43,490, and so we are covered for our upcoming comprehensive plan update. And Robin has chosen members as well. But there will be lots more information about that coming out to the community, because this the update is going to be requesting lots of information from the community about what you want to see in Philmont in the coming years. So stay tuned for that. And the other thing I'm very pleased to announce is that the village submitted a grant in partnership with the owners of 56 Main Street, the Hilltop Hotel we know it as, but it's also now referred to as the Hopkins House, which I think is what it was called when it was a rooming house for the mill workers. And they were awarded a Restore, one of 62 projects in New York State that were awarded a Restore New York grant, and we received $800,000 for that. So I think, you know, development on that is projected to start this spring. And it's a costly project, because there's a lot of asbestos, there's, you know, stabilizing the property and the health of the building and all that, and then the development on top of that.
And that's going to bring rental units to Philmont.
Will bring 4 additional rental units,
and
yes.
One accessible, handicap accessible, mm-hmm. too, right?
Great. Yep. And a commercial space or two on the ground floor. And then I'm also very excited that the village, just to remind you, we had, Doug and I had applied for a municipal mini grant for the Columbia Land, from the Columbia Land Trust last year, and that was awarded. And the decision was to rebuild the dock on Summit Lake, across Summit Lake, and that was completed. Just last year, Larry helped with getting materials for that. It was a real collaborative effort, and I want to thank the volunteers, Mark Roundtree, Lily Hines, and Stefan Ambrose, who did the work in freezing temperatures, which actually it worked out to the advantage, because they were able to stand on the frozen ice and secure build the new dock. And I was part of ferrying. We used Doug's. Doug loaned us his rowboat, and we ferried over across, and I was breaking the ice. And you can now see it. It's done, and it's beautiful. We're going to do a little more stuff, maybe some handrails, maybe bring it up to the top of the dock. But that's great. I wrote a press release for the Register Star about all the grants and the volunteerism. Actually, the mayor asked me to emphasize how much the village accomplishes with volunteerism and the village working together. And so I've written that. That, be on the lookout for that. We'll be submitting that tomorrow. Brian and I attended a Habitat meeting with the Habitat for Humanity Executive Director Al Balentia and his communications person, Scott Matthias, on 1220 to discuss the build on Eagle Street, which is finally going to go forward, and about possible future collaborations with Habitat. Al is new director, and he's implementing some changes that seem very good. And that's it.
And just so everybody knows, after the initial meeting about that $800,000 grant, Deborah did 99% of the work on that herself. That was all volunteer. She didn't get paid extra to do that. And it did come through for us, so we're very happy with that. Thank you.
Yeah. I had a lot of assistance from Urban Vantage, some engineers.
Correspondence, there's a list on the table and the hard copies are in the office. Motions and resolutions.
Motion to identify the Village Meeting Hall located at the rear of 124 Main Street, Belmont, New York, as the polling place for the Village elections to be held on Tuesday, March 21st, 2023, with polls being open from 12 noon to 9 p.m.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
To approve Kurt Basil, Marty Miller, and Monty Jennings as election inspectors for the March 21st, 2023 Village elections to be held in the Village Meeting Hall from 12 noon to 9 p.m. at the daily rate of $150 each.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
To declare that Mayor Johnson has conducted the required examination of the Village of Philmont Justice Court records for fiscal year 2021 to 2022.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
To authorize the mayor and board of trustees to sign the annual LoSAP agreement with Penflux.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to authorize the mayor to sign the county MIS shared service agreement for 2023.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to approve the full $5 an hour out of title pay rate for Clifford Albright while acting in the superintendent's capacity, retroactive to October 31st, 2022, pursuant to Article 7, Section C, Number 5 of the Collective Bargaining Agreement.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to enter into a professional service agreement with Lavella Associates, DTC, for the Aguamic Creek Watershed Intermunicipal Plan Project.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Unfinished and new business. I don't know whether this is unfinished or new, but a good friend of the village has passed away, George Brem, if nobody's heard. We are dedicating the garden in front of the community center to him on what day?
The 28th.
28th at 1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock. So if any of you would like to come up and see the dedication, you're all welcome.
And community center employees are working on refreshments and so on.
Okay.
It'll be a dignified but good service.
And George's parents know about it and they're very appreciative and they're coming down.
Perfect. He was a very nice man, and he did a lot of work up to the community center. He was definitely a productive member of the community.
One thing we should do, Brian, is get the fire chief's report entered in for the record. I mean, I can just summarize that quick if you want. They had fire company had 16 calls for the month.
I did that.
We did that.
We did that.
I read.
Larry. Oh, I didn't hear it. Okay, I missed that.
Well, you can read it again if you want.
I know. let's see, what else? Public comments are over.
Executive session.
Something, maybe I can say one thing.
About?
Alistair's.
No, that's over with. No more unfinished new business. We need to move to go into executive session.
Motion.
Second.
That's expressly for personnel.
Yes.
Hang on 1 sec. That's okay.
The Hopkins House, was it?
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Is that the one, you go, on the other side of town, there's the bend?
Yeah, it's right up, just past Cumberland Farms, the one that kind of bellies up to the sidewalk. 56 Main.
If they're renovating the whole town, I have some healthy building suggestions. Is there someone I can contact?
You can write to the village clerk.
Okay, just 1 second, sir.
Your information to check her.
She went in the other way?
You know, and you can ask her to send it on to me if you want.
I got half in there, but. Hey, Nick.
You can't get there. Okay, I didn't think you could get down there.
So I wasn't studying.
And Dr. Vicky.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Guess I need to grab a couple things.
I've seen his box. He has a box of lights that he holds around, and they turn
what
on.
What are you doing, Colonel?
Total bullshit.
But what's the point?
There's like, obviously there's voltage in there. Yes. Obviously there is. There's electricity in there, but not enough to do anything to you.
So the average life expectancy of a human being is a lot longer now than it used to be in the 50s.
Yeah, it doesn't make logical sense. Those people are getting duped, and they're paying for all this shit.
Well, you know how they invented the microwave oven, right? Did you hear that story? It was a technician working in a military microwave transmission center.
Oh, yeah.
He had a Hershey bar in his pocket, and it melted.
Yeah.
He was exposed to the microwave.
Yeah.
And he said, geez, I wonder if I can direct these into a cooking implement.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of emission out there, but what's healthy, what's not, to who is not a village.
Wear sunscreen. There is far more radiation from the sun.
How many times is she going to not understand that tower is not in the village?
Well, that's what kind of pissed me off, is that they want us to listen to them, and they're not listening. And they're also like, Doug, what you made a really good point that there's, you know, there's information
on both sides.
On both sides, and they're only presenting.
Yeah.
You know, they're only presenting one side, and that makes them, in my mind, not reliable. And the other thing I was going to say about the little cell towers, because when they, like, cornered me at a meeting, I researched it before going into the meeting, and there's, like, one town, there's a lawyer in Long Island who does this kind of
cottage industry.
What?
It's his little cottage
industry. Cottage industry where he... municipal legislation, not legislation, code or something about where the towers can place. That's the only thing municipalities can control, is where it's placed, the distance from like residential buildings. But even if you legislate that, the exceptions are existing telephone poles. So it's pointless. There's no reason to spend any time or money doing that. And she should just protect her personal self. The what?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Alright, so first thing we're gonna do is discuss Mr. Sider. Doug, you got something?
I do. He texted me. I gotta find it, but he texted me about 5:30. Here it is. All right, he said at 5:30 tonight, I just got off the phone with my cardiologist. She's trying to get me in for a stress test on Wednesday. If she can't, my appointment is for February 23rd. I'm trying my best to get back to work. So this is what makes that kind of thing makes me nervous, because he doesn't still know what's coming down. And I don't like that. I would like him to know what's coming up. But anyway, this is what he wrote, and he said, "I'll keep you posted. I'll keep Chrissy posted, and keep the village up to date. Thankfully, this doctor is going out of her way for me. As you can see, she called me after 5 p.m. Then I said, "Do you want me to relay what you just wrote to the board tonight?" And he said, "Please do that."
That's so the union rep hasn't.
The union rep
he
has.
He doesn't seem to have any freaking clue.
No, but when he came and spoke to us, he said, his words were, "I heard that when I show up, I'm going to be given a." I don't know the language. I'm going to be served with a 30-day suspension.
He's still chomping the bit to get back here.
Do you know, has Chrissy had any correspondence with Elena besides that the meeting got canceled for Monday morning? What day was our conference call?
That's what I was going to say. That was Wednesday when we...
The conference call?
When we had the phone conversation right here, right?
The Wednesday or Thursday? Thursday? Wednesday? Whatever day it was one
of them. Wednesday or Thursday, yeah.
So at the conference call, when we left the conference call, here's what's going to happen. He's either going to resign or we were going to offer him a month's severance.
A month's pay and 2 months insurance.
Insurance to leave. Or he gets demoted to assistant wastewater. That was the three options.
Oh,
interesting. Yeah. So Cliff, next round is going to be the boss. Cliff is it, no matter what. I told him he didn't have any choice. He's doing a job now. He might as well continue to do the job. So that was the three. I thought he was going to know about that before.
That's, yeah. I mean, I have no problem with that plan.
I don't have a problem with the
problem with the Sider not knowing about it yet.
I thought she was supposed to get in touch with Kutsky before Monday's meeting. Now we found out Friday that the meeting got canceled.
The meeting that was supposed to be today?
Monday morning, yes, 8 o'clock. Yeah, that meeting got canceled.
It sounds like he does know about it.
I don't know what he knows.
You can't correspond with him, though. They have to do it, right? He's rep. We can't tell him this stuff. We cannot speak to him about
No, we can't talk.
Yeah. I don't think he knows.
Here, but I never talk about Philly stuff.
Yeah, it's got to be his rep.
I don't think he knows that those are the three options being proposed, but he does know that...
He was supposed to be given those three options because we got to have a direction.
Right.
So how does he get it?
Well, Elena is supposed to talk to Kutsky, and then Kutsky is supposed to go to...
Not our charge. It's up to them.
It's in the pencil next. Sorry, excuse me.
That's no fun.
Is that you? You're the pencil next.
No. Well, the other thing that makes this whole situation weird is, you know, I've seen him. I don't know if he's going to pass that stress test.
Yeah.
He can't pass the stress test.
You know, he might not pass it, and then.
But
what I don't know if I can
doing
pass the stress
to help himself.
And that's what I, you know, regardless
of disability.
Regardless of whether he passes a stress test or not, it's got us in a state of limbo.
Yep.
So I want to know where we're headed. So if we take those three options and decide that we're going to get one of them, we need to put an ad out for a DPW worker.
Yep.
Cliff said that's where we should start, with a DPW worker, and then we'll decide about the ball moving.
Because whose license are we using for the water plant?
This month has been...
Cider's.
But no. Cider does not... Cider is not the signatory on the goddamn...
Who is?
Mike. Okay. And Mike's circling the bowl in the hospital.
Yeah.
He's not...
What's circling the bowl?
He's goddamn near dead.
Oh, circling the bowl. Yeah. Okay.
So...
Yeah.
So he, I don't know where we're going at this point. Ed's got a bug up his ass, so he's only doing driving now.
It's been a nice month.
Are we gonna keep that around?
Does Sider not have the right license for the village still?
He's not the signatory. He never.
I don't know what you mean by that.
There's a form they gotta send to DEC that says that they're it.
We do or they do?
David was supposed to.
So that was one of the things he didn't do, was get it changed over to his name.
So Cliff had called Jamie Malcolm, who was our DEC rep. Yeah. He does not have David on file. He's got Mike on file.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a huge.
I mean, we ran without an operator here. We had to use somebody from the state, had to come down.
No, we never used anybody from the state. Not that I
or
remember.
Valacia guy or
Valacia.
Somebody. Yeah.
Valacia did, and Suzuki helped out. When he worked in Chatham, he helped out quite a bit. But Jamie Malcolm is our DEC person, and he is fine with Cliff running the plant to get us over the hump. Now, the idea that we had was we were going to send the ball to sewer school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got to talk to Cliff more about that, because there were some reports that the ball maybe wasn't all it was cracked up to be. Mm-hmm. But the way the kid came through the snowstorm, I gotta think. Because if it wasn't for him,
he's a worker.
We'd all been in trucks.
Yeah.
And the kid plowed the village by himself.
Wow.
Plowed and sanded. Cliff used a little truck, but plowed and sanded by himself.
He did plow. I saw him like all day. Yeah.
He was loving it. I stopped and saw him at 9:30 at night.
Yeah.
He had a big smile on his face.
Yeah.
I said, "How you making out, kid?" "Oh, it's great. I got everything done. I'm going home. I'm going to get a little sleep, and I'll be right back in the morning." I said, "All right, go ahead."
Yeah, he's up early.
But he's fresh. He's new. So
yeah,
it's exciting.
And are there complaints?
He lacks the experience.
Yeah.
He's got the desire and the brains.
He's been down there. Cliff has been training him for the last 4 months. Well, however long David's been out.
Since August.
Yeah.
Since August. I've had him down there with Cliff in the mornings. So, you know, when it does come time that he passes his test, he's got hours on the books. And we don't have to wait around for him to work at the sewer plant. It's done. I think it may work itself out. But we need to hire somebody. We need to put this out. And Chrissy gave me this. These are the two job descriptions we have
two
now.
Two approved civil service titles that you have available.
Are you ready to sign?
Yes, it's in the union contract.
Yeah.
Whatever the union contract says.
Put in the contract. So you got laborer and you got MEO, motor equipment operator. Laborers of routine manual work, no previous training or experience requiring physical endurance and willingness to perform menial tasks. Constant oversight is maintained over work at all time. Does work related as required. Cleans buildings and grounds, unskilled work, concrete, carpentry, plumbing, electrical, painting, masonry, landscape, load and unload trucks, carries supplies and tools. Labor work is needed, groundskeeping activities, snow removal, mowing, trimming. And this is a Columbia County title, but laborers within Columbia County may take instructions from and report to the senior building maintenance worker or facilities administration. That's technically a county title, but you got labor, you got MEO. Motor equipment operator is basically operates a truck, tractor, power mower, snow loader, bulldozer, concrete mixer, stone crusher, or other equipment. Power grader, steamroller, snow plow, manual labor such as loading trucks, snow fences, cleaning culverts, and shoveling snow.
Is this one position?
They're two different titles. So you can pick, do we want to hire an MEO or do we want to hire a laborer?
I see.
MEO.
Because the MEO can do the labor.
Cost you more, I think, but yeah. It just pays more, but.
MEO.
What we did with the balls, we hired him as a laborer, and then he moved up to MEO.
That's interesting.
It depends on who applies. Like, if somebody applies like he did without the driver's
license. We can train.
Yeah, this doesn't say you have to have a CDL, but I'm pretty sure you do.
Yeah.
For labor?
For MEO.
For MEO. It says eligibility for appointment. Appropriate license issued by.
We should add that if it's not in there.
Well, they're civil service titles, so these are the ones you get to pick from.
Okay.
So I asked Cliff this morning what we were going to do, and he asked me
are we hiring somebody or are we gonna hold out for a CDL?
That's what we were just talking about.
So what is a CDL, certified?
A commercial driver's license.
And so you can drive a truck.
And what's the licensing that the gentleman who's in the hospital has that we need?
Two-way sewer license.
Okay, so we're not talking about that.
No, we're talking.
Do we have a long-term plan about getting somebody who has that?
Yeah, we're going to send the ball to school. That's the
long-term. That's, that will get it. Okay, great.
We hired the ball with no CDL, and he picked it up with the appropriate mentor.
Yeah.
So if we have the ball as the mentor, then it should come right up.
I think it depends on who applies. If we have somebody who looks really good, but they don't have that CDL in their wallet, we can hire like we did the ball.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Do we just put them both out there and see what comes in?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Why not?
It's harder to get a license now.
But we really want the right person, not necessarily.
Yeah, we're not hiring just anybody. I'm done with that.
Yeah.
No, we need the right person. That's...
Yeah.
I'm not feeling pressured to hire anybody anymore.
John? No, he feels snubbed because we didn't hire him before.
He pulled away.
Yeah, something happened. I'm not sure.
The job was his.
Oh, but he went to Hudson?
Not entertaining him.
Okay.
No.
Cool. No. He's not around. Something's going on with him.
I'm over that. I'm over that. You know?
Yeah, we would have hired him, but
yeah, the job says he.
Huh.
Yeah,
that's not true. He told me, you know.
Well, he didn't. He gets more money down there.
No, he does. I know.
And we're not going to pay him.
Yeah, he wants the directors. He wants the lead. Yeah.
Too bad.
Right. Maybe we'll find someone just like the ball. You never know. I would have done it if I didn't have a job.
So Jess, we're going to put both of these out. See what comes in.
I'm thinking about retiring and taking it.
You'd love it. You should do it. You got a pension. You got multiple pensions. And a garden. And a pool.
And a partridge in a
family. Yeah, what the hell else you know?
Well, he's getting rid of his pool. You can buy his pool.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, anybody want a pool, come get it.
There's room for a pool in my backyard, actually.
You take one. It.
Hell no, I'm building a deck over it.
All right, so we got to have a motion to come out of executive session unless anybody else has got anything.
I want to talk about the letter. Sally, two things, PBI related. Yeah. One is, I looked at this Labella thing, and it looks, you know, they look great. I have no questions about that. But again, Sally is on page 43 of this. She said that she's a project manager, grants administrator, and community participation person. But there is zero mention of PBI in the budget. So according to this, she's not getting paid. She's doing it pro bono. I don't know. There's zero transparency. So this is what happened before. And when we questioned her, she redid the budget and she put herself in there. And again, it was a modest amount. There was nothing to hide.
Well, I can guarantee you she's getting paid. She's not doing this for
well, we need to okay. see it, though.
So we right. need to, it yeah. needs to be in this yeah. budget.
How can it not be in the budget?
Look at the line items.
That's one project within the overall project, and isn't she in the budget for the overall project? I think that's how she gets it through. Reconciles it herself. Because PB Inc. on the LWRP and the BOA was originally slated to get X for administration.
Right. Right.
And I just think I agree with Deborah. It should be in each item, each phase, each project. Maybe that should be allocated further for each one. Because you don't know. Is she going to pay herself all ton in the beginning? And then, you know, so maybe she should enumerate in there of that project that Labella is going to do. How much is the PB Inc. chunk of it coming out of them? Project.
Right. What is PB Inc. getting paid for? The grants administration, community participation piece.
Three roles.
And
all right, so let me just tell you how my mind works.
Okay.
So if it's in the overall grant that she's making X amount of dollars off this, then not a penny more. Who gives a fuck where it's coming from? Which why are we going through all this?
Okay. It's okay. I'm just saying
that.
It's funky. That's all I'm going to say. It's funky. It's another thing that we put up with. and a lack of professionalism that we put up with.
It may be a lack of professionalism, but it's getting a little bit nitpicky.
Okay. But I'm going to say it's not nitpicky.
Can we at least find out what the percentage she gets from the total project is?
My concern is, I just wish it were in here, because if residents come to us and ask for that, we say, yeah, we didn't press her on that. That's all. So that's my thing. You might have a different.
No. Can we just find out? We don't even know how much she gets. Can we just find that out at least?
I think that is in the, we can do that research. That exists because we pushed her on that before. Okay. The real concern I have is that I still feel, I've gone back and forth on this, but I still feel we should respond to that letter, and I liked Larry's suggestion. I could read it to folks if they hadn't read it, that we send something along the lines of the Village Board of Trustees has reviewed. Well, let me just say, the reason I think we should respond is because I think letting everything slide has not been working, and I feel like it's, literally like dealing with a kid, and mm-hmm. you need to be consistent, and you need to back up what you're saying. And I think it puts us in a stronger position, just documentation-wise, if something goes wrong in the future. Larry's suggestion was the Village Board of Trustees has reviewed your November 17th letter of response regarding the October 27th letter of concern. While we respect your views, we believe that your lack of an apology or guarantee means that the behavioral issues brought to light will not be addressed by your board. And then, you know, should I just read the rest of?
Sure.
And that gives us no option but to decline to conduct any future endeavors together. We agree to complete the ongoing projects contingent on there being no further misconduct.
That's good.
Well, that'll get it out of the 6-month letter writing campaign that she's going to pull, because that's the only thing I'm afraid of is the piss and match.
I don't think we need this response. It's just going to be letter awards back and forth. We've got more things to do with that.
I know. I just feel like they responded, and I feel like I got a pole shoved up my ass.
Yeah. So, and the trouble with her is, if you don't respond to it, she's going to think she's won.
Right.
And business as mm-hmm. usual.
And
yeah.
I don't like the fact that she turned everything around that we said in our letter back on us. I mean, we didn't do it. We didn't start.
It's called accountability. There's zero of it here. We have to have accountability, period.
I mean, it wasn't our fault.
Well, that letter's a lot better than the first one.
I like the way it puts an end to it if she doesn't acknowledge it.
Yeah. I'm fine with it.
My only concern was that, you know, it doesn't, there's nothing we're holding over her now than to get her to behave, if we say.
Well, she can be terminated from her current project.
Right.
Which was stated in the first letter. I mean, we can add
Gotcha.
We can
okay.
add that
yep,
to
yep.
this, you know, just.
Well, you say it. We agree to complete the ongoing projects contingent on there being no further misconduct.
So what you're doing is forcing her either to apologize or to move on.
It didn't ask for an apology.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Read that again.
I have to read. I don't.
Our letter didn't.
I process better by mind.
Yeah. Okay.
By reading
our initial letter did not ask for an apology.
No, but this one did.
It just noted her absence of apology or recognition of the problems.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was pretty good for Sally. I thought that was, her silence is deafening, as they say.
Yeah,
for her not to chime back and try and clap back on everything we said to her.
So you thought that was progress?
With a normal person or a professional relationship, no. But with Sally, yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, it's always the you don't understand or you're new, or, you know, she's always got a clap back at you. And that she was pretty much silent on all the points of the letter. That's why I kind of took it as, I mean, I took it out of context because you guys had a discussion on to respond again or not. But I took it as kind of like a win against her. And I don't have any problem with the language in that. Because it doesn't mean we're just going to send you a termination letter. It still keeps your, like, this was your last chance.
Right.
Active.
Mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
Correct my grammar and put the commas where they're supposed to be, and we'll sign it.
So you say send it.
I think we should.
I really think we need to respond.
Okay. I like that one. I can live with that.
Okay.
Well done.
Come down to sign it this week. It's up to you doing the editing,
well,
right?
It's done. I'll send it to her tonight.
All right.
I mean, you could print it.
One last thing while we're in our executive session.
What am I going to do with these fucking people? Can you give me a legal thing to get out of this?
with the telecommunications killing everybody?
Yeah.
I mean, I could say the FCC governs it and everything else, but they're not going to get the routine for that. I mean, you can kind of soft sell it or ditch it or say, well, we're going to refer it. As you guys said, none of us are EM emission experts, so you could say you'd refer it to your engineer to take a look at.
Well, personally, I'm going to take this.
I'm using the folder. This folder's right. Nice.
Yeah.
Before I leave,
I'm not gonna
get really? Time of day.
You're not gonna put it in your barricade.
No.
I mean, I can tell. You've said it before. We said it at the beginning. The FCC governs this. Their claims are is that the FCC is relying on old information supported by the telecommunication industry. It's the. I mean, I don't think 5G someday is going to be like the tobacco companies. Cigarette smoking's fine. You know, that we'll find out that this is a dangerous emission.
Uh huh.
But it's not our qualification.
Wow.
You think it will come out that it's a dangerous? It might be.
Yeah, the point where you could wire everything and not do everything through radio transmissions, it's a valid point.
Yeah.
You know, as we switch to fiber optic now.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my other point. True. Like, we're heading in that direction.
Yeah,
right. We are.
That's coming.
But this reminds me of in the 90s, late 90s, when the company Center for Municipal Solutions came around and pitched everyone to. When people had flip phones and they didn't want cell towers to work, now everybody does want their data to work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We did a pretty comprehensive telecommunications tower law, but they're extremists on it. So.
It defines them as people. That's what they do all the time. They just love the attention, too.
Well, I need to get it stopped because it's nothing but a big waste of fucking time.
Yeah.
Give them their 5 minutes and
appoint one of us to meet with them every month. Maybe Larry wants to do it.
Not
or
you.
Just bite the bullet and say,
Doug, people like Doug.
Yeah, Doug.
We're not Let's send
make
Doug.
Any changes at this time, but we'll revisit it in 6 months. Because they said there's additional studies being done.
Oh, yeah.
But.
All right. So that was good. I like that. Short and sweet.
What's that? What is it?
We've reviewed everything. We're not making any changes at this time until the study comes out, and then we'll review it again.
Nice. Kick
so
the can down
the road.
I have
a comment on the press release.
Yes.
I would appreciate it if you didn't use the pictures on the lake. It just kind of rubs me the wrong way since it was my boat and it was illegal the way you were doing it.
Oh.
And I'm a
so
state,
what about,
state boating instructor.
Yeah. So what about the one with Lily standing on the...
That's fine.
Just not the ones in the boat.
Not the ones in the boat.
Thank you. Done.
What was wrong with it? You guys didn't have life jackets?
We had really nice pictures.
In the middle of the winter.
Ooh.
Yeah.
If they had gone over, carrying all that lumber over.
Yeah, you'd be done. You'd be on
they
the
would have been.
Although it is only 4 feet deep, right?
So. Yeah.
It doesn't
it's not,
matter. You get in that water, they
yeah,
would have
yeah.
been 1 or 2 minutes. You know about.
No, you're right.
Them.
And the cool. muck.
They'd be done.
Yeah, no, that muck is deep. I know. I've been in.
So don't use those pictures, please.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
I got two.
Mark Roundtree has plenty of life jackets.
He didn't wear one?
No.
What? We have with the fire department.
And not only that, whatever. He finished this project on like the 30th of December, and we've had it since February.
Well, we are going to try to get some better access from the dock up the hill, right?
Yeah, that's
from the
spring.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And there's enough wood left over. I have no idea where it is, but he said there's enough wood left over for benches.
I think the wood is sitting on the ground up there. I think I could see it with binoculars.
Really? Is that a good place for it to be?
Yeah, it's pressure.
Oh, okay.
You see my gray canoe over there?
You charged for that, didn't you?
I didn't, I didn't, but I wasn't looking.
All right, can we have a motion to come out of executive session and then we gotta adjourn in memory of George Brown?
Oh, shoot, motion to adjourn.
No, you gotta have a motion to come out first.
Oh, sorry, motion to come out of executive session.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
We're out.
Can you see if anybody's back there?
Do we need to talk about this tax increase thing for the fire department?
I think you guys have to ask for it.
Yeah.
You don't provide it now, is that correct?
I haven't read it yet.
It's actually, I'm waiting for Suzette Boyd, our county tax, because she'll give us a draft local law or anything if we're gonna.
And they're gonna pay us back for this.
I'll call her tomorrow.
I didn't see that. No, I don't know, I'm assuming. Oh, cause we're gonna lose 10% of our fire.
Nope, she's back there.
She's our sister-in-law, I'll call her tomorrow.
So.
Oh, really?
Okay, wait.
She tells me what to do with it, at the county.
We're gonna put both of these out.
Okay.
I'll leave these on the folders.
All right, are we coming out or let me?
We're coming out, we gotta adjourn in memory of George.
Okay, we are recording.
Make a motion to adjourn in memory of George Brown.
Second.
Done.
So I have an announcement to make, I'm not gonna run again.
What?